Hello, friends, and welcome to The Point, the home services podcast that focuses on marketing and operational solutions to help you get better. Because if you're not getting better, you're getting worse. Now, let's cut through the bullshit and get to the point.
What's up, To The Point listeners? It's Chris Yano, your host of To The Point, also CEO of Rhino Strategic Solutions. And I want to say what's up to my co-host, Mr. Tall Paul. What's up, brother?
Chris, it is always a pleasure. I'm a little jealous. It appears to me that you're actually in the studio today, as opposed to me, who's now on week four of quarantine. So full disclaimer, at any point, there is an elementary school right on the other side of that door, which I think we're going to talk about today for a moment. But Chris, always good. Let's get into it.
Yeah. So an elementary school, because you have four kids. That's why there's elementary school in your background. Me too. That's why I came into the office today. And there's nobody here. It's just me. So it's kind of sad, because usually this place is like people running around all over the place, and it's a bummer. I'm missing it. And I don't feel bad for you, because you've been gone for 4 weeks. If you remember, I was self-quarantined 2 weeks before all this stuff was happening. So I've been on quarantine. That's because we were in Ireland when the travel ban came in, my wife and my family. So we came back and went straight on self-quarantine. So I've been going stir crazy. So I was like, I got to get the heck out of the house and get to the office. So I'm glad that it was nice to come in here. It's just kind of a little bit sad there's nobody here. But I'm excited, man, because actually in this crazy coronavirus world that we're in, we've learned a lot of things about ourselves. We've learned a lot of things about what we can do. We learned about a lot of things about what we can change to be better. We've learned a lot of things about what we can do to help others. It's been an interesting time. And for what it's worth, I'm grateful for the new things that I'm learning and picking up. And part of that is new relationships I've created, new partnerships that we've been in discussions with, new things I've learned, like on a previous podcast with all the CARES Act stuff going on, I was able to learn from one of our guests about this CARES Act, like pull back the veil and figure out what's the truth about it and how's it really able to help the contractors. So I'm really grateful for the things that I've taken away from this, but I'm also super encouraged by the big hearts I've seen come out of this whole scenario on helping others. So, and I know you and I have had plenty of conversations about that. So, but one of the great relationships and partnerships and things I've been discussing and working on that we've actually talked about for a long time at Rhino is finding somebody who's really, really good at coaching CSRs. Now, we've at Rhino have considered creating this department for years. And the unique way that Rhino, and for those, the listeners who don't know, and this might be your first podcast you're listening to, Rhino Strategic Solutions is a digital marketing company for the trades, and that's it. HVAC, plumbing, electrical is our core competency. That's what we've done the most for the past 12 years, and that's what we focus on. So part of the Rhino team is called Rhino Tracks, and their only job is to listen to every single phone call that comes through our customers' websites, so that way they can gather date, time, was the call booked, what was the lead, was it a install, a service call, drain cleaning, electrical, what was the lead type, what's the close ratio, so we can have an idea of what that is, so that way our customers would know what's the actual revenue attached to each lead that Rhino brings in. Now, the variables of that we cannot control is what the CSR is saying when they pick up that phone, but you better believe we're listening to it, because a lot of times we're spending money, our customers are spending money, we get the call to come in, it gets to the CSR, and they're the first line of defense to lock that person down. They might be the only person that talks to a potential customer, so they gotta get it right. And so our call listening team listens to every single phone call and can identify when CSRs are missing the big picture on this, or are missing objections, their tone is wrong, that they're going about it. And though we don't offer call coaching, we can certainly identify the opportunity to that a CSR needs to improve. And it's not a negative, it's a positive. Hey, we have no impact on this, but there's an opportunity here. Have your CSR listen to this phone call, maybe get some coaching, find the right partners. So we've done this for 12 years, but never had a call coaching division within Rhino. So through this time, I've met multiple companies that offer this service, and I have my own thoughts about how a call should be handled, but I'm by no means the expert in it. So when I met our guest, Angie, and I was able to talk with her a little bit about what she's done, not only as a business owner in the home services industry herself, but also with the coaching she's done over the years, and her philosophy and their values, I really believe that it was a great fit for a lot of contractors. So, and especially with things being remote and kind of coronavirus world we're in today. So the what we decided to name this episode was Critical Call Coaching in a Crisis. That's what we're in. And there are some things that need to change and things that you should be doing and things you should be switching up. So rather than me like ad lib and spitball with you, Paul, we thought it'd be good to have Angie on the show. And so I'm going to go ahead and tee you up, Angie, before with my introduction to share some of your accolades, because it's impressive. And I learned some new things just, you know, in our prep for this. So, but Angie Snow, she's a co-owner and vice president of Western Heating and Air Conditioning, which is up in Orem, right, in Utah, suburb of Salt Lake City. And you wear she wears lots of hats. I mean, we're talking admin, human resources, marketing, finance, business development. So like, you know, I get it. Like you gotta wear lots of hats. Cool fact is that Angie was awarded the Service World Woman of the Year Award at Service World Expo in 2016. Super cool. She also served as an executive board of directors for the Women in HVACR, which Rhino was also a member of. And then Angie is also a coach, a presenter, and a mentor in Snow Business Coaching, which is a company that her and her husband have put together to serve, and also with Go Time Success Group. And last, you're on the advisory board. Well, you're an advisory board mentor and trainer for Service Nation Alliance. So
that's right. Yeah.
You're all over the place.
I got a few things going, Chris.
So Angie Snow, welcome to the Point Podcast. We're happy to have you on.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
So let's do this right out of the gate, so our listeners can understand just how we just kind of went over how like awesome that you are and things that you've earned, not been given, that you've earned. Now let's go back a little bit further and let everyone know how you even got into the trades, kind of your background with Snow Business Coaching, and then ultimately how you ended up with Go Time Success Group. Let's cover that first, and then we'll get into some tactics about what we can do with our CSRs during this time of crisis. Ready? Go.
That sounds great. Oh man. Hey, thanks for that lovely introduction. You know what? I will be honest. I'm going to be brutally honest. When I was a little girl, I didn't sit around and say, when I grow up, I want to be an HVAC lady. I didn't. I'm sorry, everyone. I know that's a disappointment. Actually, when I was a little girl, I wanted to be two things. I wanted to be a mommy and I wanted to be a teacher. And that's what I wanted to do. And so I would set up my stuffed animals. I would teach school to all of them. I'd practice being a teacher. And you know what? That's what I did. When I got out of high school, I went straight to college, got my degree in teaching, and I started teaching school. And I was working to put my husband through school. And he was getting his degree in construction management so that he could, he did love the trades. He loved working with his hands. And he got into HVAC by accident a little bit. Also, his brother was a coal miner. They're from Eastern Utah, where there's a lot of mines. And so my husband just figured, you know, that's probably what I'll do too. But his brother got in a serious coal mining accident. And so it was frightening. And so he was like, I'm not doing that. And so his brother found a new trade. His brother found HVAC and said, hey, this is a great trade. Come join me. So my husband got into it, started working on his construction management degree while I went to school. We started our family, started having kids. And when I was pregnant with my third child, he said, Angie, I've just been hired by Lennox. They're moving us somewhere. We don't know where. I get to go be a general manager for one of their companies. Isn't that exciting? And I was like, okay, yeah, let's do it. So we ended up moving to Fresno, California. Worked out there for a little bit. He ran a plumbing, heating, and cooling company out there. And I got to be a mom for a whole year. I was just a mom. I was nothing else. I'd stopped teaching school, but I'd missed it. And eventually we had a friend here in Utah say, hey, I'm going to sell my business, Western Heating and Air. Would you like to buy it? That was 2007. I know it's the same year you got started, Chris. Best time to buy a business. Woo! Right? So we came back to Utah, bought Western. It was very small. It was Ryan and I, and we had four technicians at the time. And so over the years, we've had a lot of struggles, a lot of stresses, just like many of you. Financial, employee, so many things to worry about as a contractor. How do you get your business set up to grow and to be profitable? And we've gone through a lot of those things, and we've had a lot of success. And because of that, we've been asked to speak at several events. We've been asked to help in different ways. And so we thought, you know, why not start our own business coaching company? And so we've done a little bit of that, and it's been awesome.
But when did you guys, Angie, when did you guys start that, Angie?
We started that about 2 years ago, so not too long ago. It'd been rolling through our mind for a couple years before that, but it was like, all right, let's launch this. Let's do it. And so once we started with Snow Business Coaching, it's been a lot of fun just to reach out, make connections, and find new ways to serve not only, you know, in the HVAC industry, but any person who's in business with their spouse or a partner. There are a lot of things that need to be learned there. So that's one of the things we focus on. But we've had a good time. And you know what we've noticed, and especially where the CSR coaching came up, is I really struggled to find some good CSR coaching for my team. And so it fell back on my shoulders. And I knew what I wanted from my CSRs. I knew that my main focus was to build a solid relationship with my clients, because I know the cost to acquire a new client. And if I can retain my current clientele because I've got good relationships, I'm serving them, I'm going above and beyond for them, they do the marketing for me. It's word of mouth. They write me amazing reviews. That's why my company has over 1,000 online reviews just on Google right now.
Wow.
We get that because we earn it. It's just like you said, nothing is given, it's earned. And we worked really hard for it. So it all starts with the CSRs, just like you said, Chris. They're the first impression. They've got to be able to represent your company well, and they've got 7 seconds to do it. 7 seconds for that first impression. So there's a lot to be done for CSRs.
Why I love best about this is the fact that you run a service company.
Yeah.
And if I hadn't talked to you, you would assume that you practice all these things on your own. Which is where all your eggs are in that basket. You practice these different tactics and coaching habits and things that you've trained for over the past few years on your own staff first. And then
absolutely.
And then saw success from that. And then from that, you started you had some other contractors you started working with. And I saw a bunch of testimonials that people have written about you guys that you've done for them, which is like the most rewarding thing. Clearly, if you have 1,000+ reviews, you don't get these reviews by doing a poor job or not taking care of the customer and, you know, first. So, but you practice some of these tactics on your own staff. Now, if you don't mind my asking, and you don't have to share this, when you guys, you said when you and your husband bought Western, you were at four technicians, something like that.
Yeah.
And that was in 2007.
Yeah.
What size was the company at that point? And you were only HVAC, right?
Right. Only HVAC. We were just under $1 million. We were $800,000 or $900,000 a year.
Okay.
Revenue wise. And so today we are at our team of, we have a team of 30. We'll do about 5 million. So it's not like we've grown tons, but for us, it's not about the growth. It's about making smart choices, being profitable, building a strong relationship with my team and my community. So I think everyone has to know what their why is and what their purpose is.
Absolutely.
And, ours is making a difference in our community.
Yeah. So, well, and I want to, oh, go ahead, Chris, no, do you mind?
Yeah, so go ahead, buddy.
I want to go back because you said something earlier that I think is worth kind of exploring a little bit more. You talked about kind of you're in the fire of owning a new business, right? And you're going through all the things that everybody goes through. We know what those things are. But you said at some point people wanted to start hearing your story, right? People wanted to hear what you had done that had made you successful and so on. What were the things you were doing in your life and in your business that made people want to hear that story? Was it network groups? What was the, what was the catalyst of that?
Yeah. Great question. I think a big part of that was our membership with Service Nation Alliance. We became members of them about the time they started up. And so we had a lot of connections across the country. We knew a lot of other contractors. I don't think it matters which group you're a part of. I think it's important to be connected. I think it's important to know other contractors, have coaches, have access to consultants, have people that can guide you and help you. And so that was part of that. And we'd seen a lot of success and they'd helped us get there. And a lot of our success was just copying and robbing and duplicating things other companies were doing. And so of course, people then wanted to do the same thing to us. What are you doing in your company? What's the latest marketing thing that's working? One of the things that we did in 2016 when I won the Service World Expo Woman of the Year is I had just come out with a new way to give back to my community. I teamed up with the Emily Effect, which is a nonprofit charity, and it was created after my dear friend Emily, who's passed away from postpartum depression. It was a big struggle for her. And I wanted to do something to create awareness. This was something that she'd had a hard time with, and me as one of her closest friends, I didn't even know how bad she struggled with it. And so for me to be able now to use my business as a catalyst to spread the word and provide solutions and resources and connecting points for other moms who might be struggling with it, that's what I did. And I found a way to do that. I wrapped several of my vehicles with the Emily Effect wrap. And to this day, people still love that and still relate to that and thank us for that extra way to give back.
I love it. And you're obviously, like, as a executive board of director or on the executive board of directors for women in HVACR, you're giving back in many ways, because it's not like that can be a thankless position. Financially, like, it's not, it's almost like I'm on my HOA board. It's a zero. You don't pay me to be on that board.
No.
Which still blows my mind, by the way, Chris.
this is my last term. I've been in it for 4 years. I'm out, but I wanted to give back to my community. Now, I bit off a little bit more than I could chew, or really had time for, but I made the commitment to give back to my community. And that's how I chose. That's one of the ways I chose to do it, but it was a lot of work for people just to really tell you that they don't agree with you, but getting on boards, even if they are like you do get financially reimbursed for being on the boards, there's still you're doing far more than that. So yeah. It's got to be bigger than that. Even like that's the way I look at it. But how long? And you've been on that board for how long? In home services, speed to lead is everything. Chirp stands out by transforming your communication strategy. With Chirp, accelerate your lead response time with instant SMS text messaging, email, and ringless voicemail automation. Chirp's cutting-edge technology ensures you're the first and the most persistent, helping you close more deals than ever. But that's not all. Say goodbye to missed opportunities with Chirp's incredible follow-up system. Keep your leads engaged and moving smoothly through your sales funnel without lifting a finger. And with Chirp deep integrations with top CRMs like ServiceTitan, HouseCall Pro, and Jobber, you can launch laser-targeted campaigns to connect with the exact right leads at the exact right time. Automation creates efficiency. Efficiency unlocks scalability. With Chirp, you can automate speed to lead, estimate follow-ups, rehash, abandoned call follow-ups, canceled job follow-ups, review requests, outbounding to your list, annual reminders, membership expiration follow-ups, and so much more. So stop chasing leads, capture them. Connect faster and close more deals with Chirp. Contact Chirp today and elevate your communication game.
I've been on the board for 4 years now, and it was because they needed another contractor. You know, women in HVACR, we facilitate a lot of different ways for women to connect throughout the whole industry. Manufacturers, wholesalers, distributors, service providers, contractors, technicians, it's the whole gamut of women. And a lot of times as a woman in a predominantly male industry, you feel alone. You feel like there's no one to connect to. You feel like no one else knows what you're going through. Well, this is a place for us to all come together and connect. And I think the reward, even though there's no financial gain, you know, for me to be on that board, the relationships that I have built and that I've become a part of, the partnerships, the companies that I'm learning about, those are priceless. I can't put a price on that. So it has been very, very rewarding for me to be a part of that.
And now you've gotten in with GoTime Success Group, who's about a little over a year into this company. Let's segue into that on how that relationship came about. And then we're going to start hammering hard on actual tactical takeaways from the CSR thing. So how did that segue happen into GoTime Success Group?
I've been really good friends with Chris Hunter and Ben Stark, who are the owners of GoTime Success Group, for a lot of years. Ben's been my mentor since probably 2012, 2013. He helped me with my very first annual planning meeting. He came to Utah and helped me with that and really set me up and gave me a design and a system to follow to make a solid plan for my company every year. And Chris, just the success that he's had in his company is phenomenal. And that he was able to sell it and do so well with that. A lot of contractors are just looking for guidance. And so Ben and Chris saw that need and they wanted to provide a place and a service for other contractors to come and get additional training and guidance for all parts of their contracting business. And that's where I came in. They said, Angie, we got to have somebody to help CSR. So we need someone solid to help bring CSRs to the next level. People are just knocking down the door asking for it. So can you help us create something? And so I just put together the process I've been using with my team. I've taught the class over and over, and the results are awesome. And it's been so exciting to see these CSRs gain confidence. That's what it is. They're so nervous. Like, I don't know anything about HVAC. Mm-hmm. How am I supposed to talk to a client when they tell me their unit's not working? What am I supposed to say? And they get all nervous. And it's like, you don't have to know the answer. You just have to know how to connect with that client, how to ask the right questions, so that you can book the call profitably and build that connection for your company. And let the guys that know how to do that part.
Yeah.
So true.
Perfect. Yeah, absolutely spot on. And it is like all the money we spend on marketing, all the brand, all the everything, once they pick up that phone, all that stuff's off the table and it's right there. And that's got, you know, the phone's got to get it done. So this is a great segue to go into this. And when you and I talked prior, a lot of companies spend a lot of time and money on training their technicians, which they should. But a lot of times you'll find that they just don't take the time to spend the money on the CSRs, which is ultimately, like we keep saying, like sometimes you're last line of defense. Like this is your, like you, they're your front man. Yeah. They're the front man of the band, man. Like they can't miss the lyrics. They got to get it right. So how do you go about with CSRs empowering them in a time like now, like in a crisis? Because what we could have talked about 3 months ago, it's not, there's no need. Like we need to talk about it now, given that we're in COVID-19 days. So what kind of give me some like tactics, or how are you empowering CSRs in this time of crisis?
Great question. You know, I feel like it starts from the top down. It starts from the leadership. Who's leading their CSRs and what is their mindset? Do they have this mindset of abundance? Like, guys, we're going to find so many opportunities in this time right now. And you guys on my team, you're going to help me do that. Here are some questions you can ask. Here are the measures that we're taking. Here are the things that we're doing, and empower your CSRs. Give them the tools, the script, the plan. Let them know what the plan is. And now, guys, because you're on the same team as me and we've got this plan, let's go do it. That's one mindset to have. Or you can have the mindset of, oh my gosh, everyone's going to be calling in and canceling. We can't lose these calls. You guys have to show up. You know what I'm like, there's a way to talk to your CSRs and empower them or to scare them. What mindset are you bringing as a leader to your team? Because that's where it starts. And whatever mindset you start with your team, that's the mindset that they will emulate. So it starts with you. That's my.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. Because I think, we just talked about this too on as a leader, and I shared this with my executive team that they, you know, even our my team leaders and my executive team, we all need to have that same courage and not fake, not a facade. Like, if I might be a little afraid, it's okay, but I need to have courage. I need to believe that we're going to be okay. Now, tactically, how is not on my leadership team. That's on our executive team. But we're all courageous and we believe because we know we're going to get it done because we have this amazing team. And so that does come from the top down. So one of the big things that has maybe, well, with some of our customers that we've been fielding a lot of phone calls from is, even though search volume has stayed the same or even went up, even in, you know, the time, like, it's typically spring and fall aren't amazing anyhow. So like all this isn't great timing, but even so, search volume in some cases for customers looking for heating and air conditioning contractors, plumbers, electricians, whatever, has actually gone up because they're home more. Mm-hmm. So even though that's happening, there's still like, if we as a digital marketing company can get them into the site, there's still complaints about cancellations. So that we have no control over. Again, it's like if we spend all the money to bring in a lead and the customer cancels, the contractor didn't do a bad job. The customer canceled based off of fear. And I get it. Like, maybe there's some things that are happening, you know, that like they've got somebody who's got some immune deficiencies or whatever the case is.
Right.
But I think it's something that the CSRs have to address right up front. Mm-hmm. Like, the safety of this thing has to be, you do not assume it. If you leave people to assumptions, they'll assume the worst. You have to address it straight up front. So what are some things that our listeners can take back to their CSRs or whoever's answering your phone to help with handling cancellations?
Yeah, good question. I think the key here is to think long-term. If a customer's calling in, we know that when our emotions get stirred up, we sometimes don't think rationally. We don't speak rationally. We don't make rational decisions. And that's what we're seeing right now all across the world. People are freaking out and making crazy things. They're pulling their money out of the stock markets. They're shutting down their business and laying off their employees before they even know how things are going to turn out. And
they're buying toilet paper.
Clients are doing the same thing. They're calling, I got to cancel this appointment because I don't know what's going to happen, you know? So they're acting out of fear a lot of times. And so as a CSR, I don't have control over my client's behavior or their actions, right? That's not something that I have control of. And that's not something I want my CSRs to feel like they have to save every single call that comes in. Their job is to keep your attitude in check, stay positive. Their attitude is to be transparent about what your company is doing. What are the actions you're taking? Have those value statements ready. Know exactly what your company is doing so that you can explain that. And stay calm. Be a nice, refreshing, calm voice for that customer on the phone. You can listen to them. Sometimes people are so cooped up right now, they just need to talk. I mean, ask CSRs all over the country. They're getting some crazy calls right now, and somebody just needs to vent for a little bit. So be that listening ear. Listen, serve them. And even if they do cancel the call, even if you can't save it, keep that relationship strong. I don't care if a call's canceled. But if you've done something to sever that relationship with that client, then I'm going to be upset as a business owner. So sure. If you can do anything to nurture that relationship, then that's what I want you to feel empowered to do as a CSR. Calm their fears, let them know what you can do, but then it's about keeping that connection. So they will come back to you when all this craziness is past, because it will pass, and you still want that client there for you.
Right. Well, let me ask you a quick question. So let's say, is Western doing anything proactively to prevent future cancellations by maybe addressing it on the call upfront? Don't worry, we've taken all the right safety measures. Like, are you guys actively doing something like that? Instead of just saying somebody calling in to straight up cancel, is there some sort of proactive, you know, script or whatever that you guys are saying ahead of time?
Yeah, it's absolutely. We're absolutely giving some new expectations of what they can expect when we come out to reassure them up front. But I think there's a right way and a wrong way to do that. There's a way that you can go overboard and scare the heck out of them because, oh my God, oh no, I better cancel. You know, you can almost talk someone out of doing business with you by listing every single precaution that you're doing because now it sounds like this could be more dangerous than I thought. I better reschedule. You got to be careful about the words you're using and the way that you're sharing that message. So words subconsciously can go into people's minds and it affects them and it affects their choices. So there's a right way and a wrong way to do that. So yeah, having just those few things. And then if they want to go deeper into it, we go a little deeper with them. But it's not like full board. Here's everything we're doing for 20 minutes. And you've got to sign a waiver when we come. And I haven't implemented the waiver yet in my company because I think that will scare them. If there's something that they would want to do, we could have that discussion. But I'm trying to eliminate fear and I'm trying to build hope and build positivity and be proactive in this and not add to the chaos.
And you're seeing a lot of success with that. Just with
we have a couple cancellations, but I want to be respectful. If I can't alleviate your fears, if you're thinking in this irrational thing, or if that's just really the place your mind is right now, nothing I say is going to change that. So I'm going to do my best to reassure you, but then I'm going to support you in whatever your decision is, Mr. or Mrs. Customer.
Right.
You
know yeah. Yep. Yeah. I think that, go ahead, Paul.
Well, I want to, so outside of this scenario, one of the key measures for you is booking rate, right? Is that what you would refer it to? And so for our listeners, booking rate, I'll try my best to describe it, is if you get 10 phone calls that are eligible leads for services that you offer, 9 out of 10 of those are booked or 8 out of 10 of those are booked. Your measure is like, your target's obviously 100%, but 90% is your key number, right? That's kind of where you guys land.
We've been consistently over 90. We're closer to 95, 96 is where we're at right now. When we get below 90, my girls start freaking out. What are we doing wrong? We need help on these calls. And I will tell you, I still coach them every week. In fact, when we're done with this podcast, I got a call with my girls. They send me calls that they've struggled with on the week and we coach every single week. It's, you've got to be consistent. If you want results, you have to consistently work on this.
Right. And one of the scenarios that we find ourselves in, you know, we have tens of thousands of phone calls that we're listening to on a monthly basis on behalf of our clients to try to figure out what happened, right? And without sharing our clients' data, I will say that the booking rate does not average 90%, right? Not even close. And so generally speaking, people will come to us and say, what can I do to get more revenue? What can I do to get more leads? And it's usually not a mechanism of marketing, right? Mm-hmm. It's usually what's happening on the phones. You can fix what's happening on the phones. So in a normal scenario, like what are some things that you identify as like either the good things or the bad things that are going on the phones that can drive you toward that 90% number?
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, in the class and the training that I do, it's a 7-star CSR process. It's 7 different steps. And the very first 2, I think, are the most important. The first one is building that relationship of trust. There are different ways you can do that. It is finding a connection with the customer, your tone of your voice, the pace of your voice. How reassuring is your voice? It's listening. Are you listening to them? Or are you talking over them? Another one, a lot of it just comes down to respect and building that relationship, right? Validating them, letting them know they called the right company. You're going to take care of them. I'm so glad you called. We're so good. We're going to take care of you. We've got this. The second one is asking the right questions. When you're asking the right questions, a lot of times clients call in and they want to start the conversation with a question. How much is it for this? Or how soon can you get someone at heart? But they're just asking that to start the conversation and they want to see how you respond. Their questions are testing you as a CSR. And so this is where we take control back of the call and we get the information we need about the client and about the system, because I'm going to treat a 20-year-old system that hasn't been working for 2 days, I'm going to treat that call a little bit different than I'm going to treat a 2-year-old system that is making a noise. So I have to ask certain questions, because once I can identify the opportunities, then I know the direction to take the call and how to book that call. Customers are looking they don't want to get on the call and direct the call. They want the CSRs to direct the call. So we teach the CSRs how to go through this process and direct the call so that the clients will feel comfortable trusting you. They know you're gathering the right information. And it's definitely a process and it takes a lot of practice. But by practicing being consistent at this, this is how we're booking more calls.
Love it.
What's the do you have an approach around after hours service? That's another area that is a complete miss in this industry. Like after four, before eight, like what's that look like for, what's it look like for Western? And then what's
it look
like?
I can see Ryan just shaking his head right now. Paul, why
are you doing this to me? Why are you putting me, you know, this is like the dagger, the pain. Hey man,
our listeners need to hear it. Like, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. So let's talk after hours.
So I will admit, I do value my team. I value their time with their family. I want them to go off the clock at nighttime. Mm-hmm. We've increased our hours from 8 to 8 Monday through Saturday. So I have a live person in my office answering the call until 8 o'clock at night. After 8 o'clock, I do turn it to a service provider who answers our calls for us. And I will tell you, I cringe even when I listen to those calls. It is, I have yet to find an after hour service provider that answers the calls the way I would want them to answer. But I love my team and value them too much to make them do that. I just trust that once we've got the information, we can go ahead and turn that call around. So it's a matter of just obtaining information at that point, and then I let my team do their magic.
Got it.
Gosh.
I wish I had a great service provider, but I don't.
We're all in the same boat. I think you've addressed it to some degree, to a very large degree, actually, by extending your hours until 8 o'clock. I think that, so you've got people that come in from maybe 12 mm-hmm. to 8 or 11 to 8.
Yeah.
I think that takes care of quite, people, consumers don't really expect you to be there 24/7. But, you know, we've got a company here where I live in North Carolina that says we're here till midnight. Like, that works, right? But obviously, you know, different scale.
Yeah. You need to decide what's going to set you apart and decide the best way you can serve your clients and the best way you can serve your team. In the end, I've got to have my team that's refreshed and ready to show up the next day.
Yep. Absolutely. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah. So this after hours thing has like pestered me for years because it's again, what's always been tough for Rhino is we're always trying to find solutions, even if it's outside of our wheelhouse for our customers, because that's what we believe that this company is supposed to do, to be a true partner, not just a vendor. You try and recognize problems and find solutions, mm-hmm. whether you do it or not. And this is one that continues to drive me crazy because it takes a lot of hard work and hard-earned money spent to pull in leads for then turn it over to an after hours answering service that butchers it. And I want to put my fist through a wall because it just frustrates me so much for our customers. So that's one thing where when we're listening to every call that comes in during hours, after hours, doesn't matter. And you better believe as soon as we hear an after hours answering service butcher a lead, because you know, they don't care near as much as you would, we're firing those things off, man, and saying, hold them accountable. Have them listen to this call, and this call, and this call to fix it. Frustrating.
I agree. I've expressed my concerns to my provider as well. And, you know, if someone's looking to make a good buck, that might be a good business to open right now. And I'd be happy to coach your CSRs. Let's get them going.
Let me tell you what that looks like. I tried this. Okay. So I thought the same thing. I'm like, this can't be that difficult. I know how I would handle a phone call. I know how I could pitch a maintenance agreement. I'm like, so I thought I'm going to create a Rhino answering service and give it just to our customers, because I know we could book more calls during that 5 to 8 p.m. or 4:30 to 8 p.m. gap when conversion rates are higher, revenue's higher. Like, I'm like, let's figure that out. Let's find some after hours answering services people. Gosh, this has probably been 8 years ago. And I tried it. And I tried it for 2.5 years. I told you this, Angie. I tried this for, did you do this just to get me fired up?
No, I did not.
I did.
I'm just seeing Paul giggling in the background.
Oh my gosh. I tried this for 2.5 years. And keep in mind, I did this for my customers because I knew I was like, I lost so much money trying to figure it out on their behalf. If you look at it like of the straight P&L expense out the door, I took a massive loss on it. My heart was in the right place. I was trying to solve the problem. Now, that being said, we closed a lot of leads for our customers, which then in turn helped keep them around longer. So if you look at it in the long run, we probably made out on it. But the expense over that 2.5 years was brutal. So I don't know how, you're absolutely right. If someone can actually figure it out, have the patience and the capital backing to get it done, you're right. There's a gold mine there, but it's going to have to be massive.
I think you get what you pay for. And I know that we don't pay an arm and a leg for our after hours service, but I haven't found another one that I would trust either. So we'll keep working on it. We'll see what we can figure out.
They don't work for you. So they're all remote employees. So like this, so I guess you've kind of somewhat dealt with that piece of it. Then are all your CSRs are probably working remote now then, right?
Actually, no, they're not. My CSRs are, I had one CSR working from home for a little bit, and I've given them that option though, and I'm ready to accommodate. If any of them feel at any time that working from home is a better solution, I told them we will make it work. But right now, they're all in separate offices in my building. They're all answering calls, and they all feel very safe and very comfortable with the measures we've taken there. So they're still coming in. But I know a lot of companies do have CSRs working from home. And so we've got to find solutions for that as well.
Right. So then now are some of the people that you're coaching, I'm going to imagine like we have plenty of customers whose CSRs are working from home. Mm-hmm. And they've got like, in some instances, there's 20, it's like 20, there's a bunch.
Yeah.
So are assuming that you are having to coach to that right now on how can you help keep them accountable or like track their performance with everybody being remote?
Yeah. Great question. You know, it all comes down to your expectations. Did you set expectations for your CSRs? What can they do at home that they can still do at work? And what can they not do? Because if there's things that they absolutely can't do unless they're sitting in your office, you've got to find other things for them to do to use their time. And so having your system, you know, those systems put together, having those expectations for your CSRs, and then being innovative, come up with a way to track their time. I've heard some really extreme things, and I've heard some really lackadaisical things. So far as extreme to, I'm going to put a Zoom camera on my CSR the whole day so I can watch her working. I'm not kidding.
That's
I'm
awful.
I'm dead serious. And for me, this comes down to like trust. Like, do you trust your team or not? If you don't trust that CSR, why are they working for you? What, you know what I mean? And I did have a CSR working from home for a little bit. And there were, when you're having a CSR work from home, three things you need to think about. And us as business owners, I immediately go to this point of, will she have the right space? Does she have a computer? Will she have access to the phones, to my scheduling? Will she have, you know, access to all the tools that she needs? And that's one part of it. And that's important. But you've also got to keep into consideration other ways to prepare. Is she going to be physically able? Is she going to be taking care of herself? Is she going to come to work in pajamas? No. Like, if you're going to be working from home, you show up to work just the way you would come to work. You get dressed. You do your hair. You get on the phone. You, you go to bed on time. You can't stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning with the kids because the kids are home and they want to stay up and watch. No, you have to be responsible just like you would be coming into the office. You have to keep the same hours. You have to do all of those things physically to take care of yourself. Eat healthy, drink your water, get your exercise in, do what you normally do. Just because things are different doesn't mean you can change your routine all up. Keep it as similar as possible. Same thing mentally. Are you showing up mentally prepared for your job? Are you going to be able to be 100% focused on your customers when the phone rings? If not, you've got to change something in your space or we have to change something. So I think that weekly contact, a weekly report of this is what I accomplished this week, however you want to do it. The cool thing about this is, if you don't have a system or process in place for your CSRs to work from home, you get to create one right now. This is a new whole thing you've got for your company now, so that you've got this in place and you're ready to go. It's that mindset. We're being innovative here. We're moving forward. We're building and creating because of this, instead of looking at, oh no, I think my CSR is going to rip me off at home because I don't know what they're doing. I don't know if they're actually working. Set the expectation, give them the tasks, and let them prove themselves to you. Trust them.
Yeah, great. So making sure they got a good spot to work in. I am 100% believe, like, you got to, it's almost like people used to say, you know, look the part, you know, or dress the part, feel the part, be the part, like, or you know, dress successful. And I don't buy into all of it. I buy into enough of it to say, you got to feel good about yourself to be able to do your job good.
This is another area where we disagree. I always say no collar, no dollar, meaning I show up every day with a collared shirt on, but I made a commitment at like 2 weeks into quarantine. I have 3 t-shirts that I'm wearing through this whole thing to just reduce laundry. So I'm just cycling those 3 t-shirts. So this is my bluish gray t-shirt. And I'm, you know, the hat is because I'm a couple days away from getting an at-home haircut. Are you cutting hair at your house, Angie?
I did cut my husband's hair. It looks really nice. He got a lot of compliments from our service manager. So nice. That was good. We're doing all those extreme measures too.
All right. So I have another left field question, if you don't mind. So what role does software play in good, you know, in coaching your CSRs and having them manage, you know, who's on the phone versus what they see in front of them? And what software do you use?
Yeah, we use ServiceTitan. We've been using them for a couple of years now. We like them. There's so much to be learned still. It's a very inclusive product and program. We really like them. The cool thing about ServiceTitan are there are a lot of things that you can customize. And so if we want our calls to go a certain way, I can customize the screens to go in the order of how I want the call to go. But there is, you know, being a CSR is a performance job. You've got to show up and perform, and you've got to be able to juggle a couple different things at the same time. You've got to be able to keep that positive, you know, great relationship with the client while you're gathering their information and typing information in, or, you know what I mean? There's just a lot going on. And so a lot of what I'm helping CSRs with is to recognize that a lot of times they don't realize how long they've been pausing, you know, to type in information until we go back and listen to a call and they're like, oh my gosh, that was a really long pause. Yeah, it was. What do you think we can do to shorten that pause? You know, and well, maybe if I write it down and go back and enter it later, well, that's a great idea. Let's try it for a week and see what happens. You know, it's about getting the job done, but taking care of the client and letting them know they're number one first.
Yep. I'm hearing that the number one thing, and maybe it's not the number one, but a human connection and establishing trust as quickly as possible. Yep. So I can think back to a few experiences I've had. It was selling a house, and I had some foundation work that I needed done, like in the slab under the house foundation work. And I remember the company I ended up going with, the owner answered the call because it was after hours. And she said something along the lines of, oh, honey, I'm so sorry to hear that. I bet that's so stressful. And at that moment, I was like, yes, it is stressful. But it was done. It was done. It was a done deal. That's who I was using from that moment, because she showed empathy. Yeah. So anyways.
Exactly. And a lot of times, you know, you think about our customers that are calling into us, they're in vulnerable positions. They just had this something go out and they weren't planning on it. And now they know it's going to cost a lot of money and they're stressed. And if you can just calm their fears, let them know you're going to take care of them, build some value in your company and make a connection with them, ask them the right questions, they're in, they're yours.
For life.
Yeah.
For life. It's that simple.
See, it's so simple to be a CSR,
It's so simple. So easy. So if I'm listening to this, let's say I'm a contractor listener of The Point, to The Point, and I'm like, I need to fix my people on the phone. What are the steps they need to take in like contacting you, or what does that look like?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's super simple. You can go to gotimesuccessgroup.com. We're really excited. I've been working on putting an online program together because there's only one of me and there's a lot of contractors that need help. So I've put a lot of work into creating a whole online training program. It's about 10 to 12 hours of me in front of a camera. I've got a workbook. I'm going through the entire 7 steps with you. I'm giving you role play scenarios. I'm letting you listen to calls from my company. It's very, very, what's the word? It's just a very complete package of really solid training so that you can learn the different things. Now, it's called 7-star CSR because it's not just a 5-star. 5-star is the expected standard. If you're meeting my expectations, I'm going to give you a 5-star review. If you're going above and beyond, this is something someone I want to rave about, I'm going to give you a 7-star review. And that's what this training is. So it's for new CSRs. It's for experienced CSRs. It's for anyone who just would like to take up their skills to the next level and really, you know, knock it out of the park.
So are there certain characteristics in CSRs that when you're either interviewing or first couple of days on the job, you're like, oh yeah, he is going to be amazing? Or are there, on the other side, are there ones where you're like, it's not going to work. This person is not going to work.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I always do, when I'm hiring a CSR, I do a phone interview first. I want to hear how they sound on the phone. I don't want to see their face. I don't want to do any prejudging, anything. I want to hear how they sound on the phone. If they sound great, I'll bring them in. And I am looking for someone who's very vulnerable, who's open to role-playing, open to doing whatever I ask them to do, because if they're not and they're hesitant, then they're going to be hesitant to change, because I get CSRs out of their comfort zone. They don't want to listen to their calls. I don't like the way my voice sounds. It sounds so dumb. I hate listening to, well, if you're not going to listen to your voice, then I know you're not willing to change it. So you've got to be vulnerable. And whenever a really big point for contractors, if you're trying to do this on your own with your CSRs, you're listening to their calls, make it a safe environment. Let them know that we're listening to calls to help you improve. I'm not listening to calls to put you down. I'm not listening to calls with you to make fun of you. We're just identifying opportunities where you can get a little bit better, where you can grow. And you always highlight the best things first. I loved your voice on that call. I loved your energy. I loved your focus. But I wish, and we use wish instead of I hate, I don't like, I keep it positive. I wish just next time that you wouldn't have used so many ums. I wish you wouldn't have talked over the client. I wish you would have built a little bit more value so they could have seen why they needed a tune-up. And so there are so many things that you can, ways that you can coach your CSRs and help them through this and keep it a positive, safe experience so they'll feel safe and open to that coaching.
I love it. I think that what's good about that online piece of it is they can go back and reference things over and over again. So, because you can't be expected to remember, even if you take great notes, you're not going to remember it all. So at least you have that to go back and reference, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
We do similar things like that at Rhino. So that way, because from an account manager perspective, you certainly, like a lot of it, you have to learn on the fly. You just like on what scenarios are going to come up, like this, like the one that we're in is new. Mm-hmm. So we take it all back to our core values, but we've been recording different things so that way people can go and reference them to help manage it, which is extremely important when people are working remote right now. So I want to wrap with this. And thanks, we kind of went over a little bit, and I appreciate you giving us a lecture time. Is like I said towards the beginning, a lot of contractors have spent so much time and money on training their technicians, and they're not spending that money on their CSRs, which arguably right now is the utmost important, if it's ever been, is absolutely right now. Mm-hmm. To get the technician, doesn't matter if you can't get them in there in the home, you got to get them there.
That's right.
So, but not everybody is like, you know, people are really afraid on spending money and cash. So what are some, and you've given a lot of actual tactical things in this, that's just really scratching the surface on really the broad, like on what you can actually accomplish with them once you kind of get in and go over everything. Mm-hmm. But you've given enough little tips and nuggets that they could take away and implement to make change now. Right. But if somebody is strapped for cash right now, or just afraid to spend the money, if you could give like at least just say a couple tactics that they could do to help that an owner could do to help their CSRs, like if nothing else, do these set things to at least guide the ship, what would those things be?
Okay, couple things here. First of all, listen to the calls, identify areas where they need help with. And like I said, keep it a simple process. I told you I use hearts and wishes. I use that with my second graders. How many years ago? Things you love about the call, things you wish were different. You've got to do this with the CSR. They have to hear it in themselves. If they can't hear it, they can't change it. So they need to listen to their call, and you know they're going to be their own worst critic. So be gentle with them. Don't say, yep, here were 30 things you need to change, and here's a garden hose. I'm shoving it down your throat right now. Fix it. No, be gentle. They're like a little plant. They're developing. They're budding. A couple drops here and there. Let's work on these two things this week. If anything else, just work on these two things. Let's see if we can stop talking over clients, and let's see if you can remember to set this expectation when you're talking to them. And then once they've got that, the next week, identify one or two more things. This is, it's a process. You can't expect your CSR to just be a slam dunk overnight. You've got to be consistent in listening and training, and what's tracked and measured will be improved. You know this better than anybody in your industry and what you're doing. You've got to track it. You've got to measure it. And then take little baby steps, and you'll get there, and you'll see their confidence improve. You'll see their demeanor. They'll be more excited to come to work because they know that they're meeting their expectations, your expectations. They're helping you book more calls. When these things happen, your booking rate will go up, and they'll be booking more calls, and they'll be booking them profitably on the right technicians so that you can make more money on your calls. And they're going to be able to, you know, you should see your revenue go up. I mean, even with everything that's going on right now and how first quarters typically are tough quarter, we're up 20% this year, which is awesome.
Awesome.
And it's because we're consistent at this. Every single week we do this. And not only do I do it with my CSRs, do it with my techs. Do it with my techs too. We have a process for them. And you got to be consistent with them too.
That was my next question, because that's really the complete picture. And what you said too about CSRs understanding which text to send into the house, like matching the skill or the communication style, that's the golden piece right there. So, so helpful, Angie.
Well, yeah. I'm gonna leave us with this one. Angie, thank you so much for your time and spending it with us and sharing some of that information. I believe that you gave actually a little bit more tactical things than I expected, which is great. I think it is indicative of who you are and your purpose for like how you like to serve. So thank you for being so open.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. And if anything our listeners take away from this, it is if you listen to the phone call, just listen to your CSRs. Even if you don't know anything, you're going to be able to hear it and know like that didn't sound right. That, you know, they talked, the tone was wrong. They missed the objection. You're going to know because you're going to process it. Like if you're the owner or the GM, you would have handled it this way. So you're going to know something's off, but by listening to it and then just having them listen to their own call a lot of times is a great start.
Yep.
And getting this thing fixed. So again, I appreciate it very much. That's something that we've learned a ton from is just by listening to everybody else's calls. Mm-hmm. You know, and a lot of times it's not just about, you know, I wish you did these things better. You have to approach it that way. It's the positive mindset. It's also equally important to give praise for great calls.
Absolutely. Always so find the good in the call before you go to those wishes. Always.
Love it. Start with good, end with good. Mm-hmm. Bookmark it. Bookend it. All right. Hey, listeners, hopefully you all took a lot away from this. I know I certainly did. I always love getting into tactical calls, like conversations like this, because I have a genuine interest in being able to control the call. I'm a very empathetic person. I run this business, and one of those pillars is empathy. I genuinely care about people. I only have a company to help other companies grow. We only started a podcast to share that information to help you grow the listener. So this is one of those tactics that you have got to do. If you've ignored it up to this point, you know you got to change it. You know you got to fix it. If you need to figure out how the heck do I even get a call recording, what you got to do is get a call tracking number. There's multiple vendors out there. If you need any help figuring out how to purchase a call tracking number, they're super cheap. Reach out to The Point. Reach out to Rhino. Reach out to Angie. Ask And we can tell you how to get a call tracking number and how to implement it to start recording those calls. So listeners, thank you so much. Please stay safe out there. Take all the safety precautions in this crazy COVID-19 crisis that's going on. Hopefully all of Angie's knowledge and wisdom that she shared is going to help you. And again, what we'll say in Rhino is, you know, your ambition has to match your action has to match your ambition. If not, it's useless. So do something with it. Till next time, stay safe.
Thank you for listening to The Point. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Please consider leaving us a review in the App Store. And don't forget to share with your friends. Till next time, kick some ass.